Welcome to the rehearsal. The pre-rehearsal. This is backstage. One thing that we thought very seriously about in planning for the Houston gathering is that what was backstage should get on stage. And a lot of the stuff that often gets lost because the only people who have fun with it are the people who are creating it, we put out in front of the people. So, Phil, if we can get the harpsichord open up, and John and Chris, and John and Bill, well, perhaps John and Chris start playing something that you know from back home. Okay? Go ahead. Not too loud so I can talk to them. If you had been at that gathering, you would have seen that in Houston it had come together, I think, thousands of guitars, with 20,000 people. I don't know if I need this. Do I need this? Okay. And I thought of Carol Hinderly, not every day, but 20 times a day. Because the kind of thing that I heard again this morning, that the way Carol took into chapter 12 of Romans, which was our theme for that week together, was what it was like coming from all sides, collage, basically on the idea that the God who said to me, I am your father, and says to me, you may say to me, I am your son, that's where we start looking at the gifts of the world as mercies, not those that we deserve, but those which we open up in the front of each other, and we thank you. Carol Hinderly was kind of a patron saint. Every time anything looked weird, someone would say to me, how can you do that? I said, well, I don't know, I did it at Holden, it was all right. And Holden permeated not only Houston, but Holden, which is not unique in the sense that it's different, it's really typical. For me, Holden is typical. I have Holdens all the time, but I think maybe I had a first one here. I see Holden not as an end, but I see it as a beginning. And I saw some of the liberation in Houston among the 20,000, one night 37,000, that haven't been born here. I'm going to ask Phil to play on the harpsichord. I'm going to have him play, Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word, which is hymn 155. And then I'm going to ask Bill to go to the piano because, now ask John. John, I don't know whether you can do it. You can tell us whether you can do it. You open to 155, John. And when Phil has done it on the harpsichord, and you get the feeling of then, long ago, in the day of that hymn, of its origin, then I want John to play it, and I want the drums to come in to it, and I want the harpsichord, the way Phil can handle the harpsichord, to jump a few centuries, so we've got then and now. We did it then with stage bands and horns and all of that. But I want this song then. And very softly sing stanza one. And I'll point to you guys when you come in with Phil on the second stanza. And then back to Phil on the third. We gave the kids a sense of history. That helps give them a sense of history, give them a harpsichord. Very softly sing the first stanza with what you just heard. Thank you. and we'll go through it once more, and whatever instruments you want to. Here we go again. You listen. John, here we go. We didn't have an organist, we had two stage bands. One had 12 horns, a lot of brass. Ordinary people with a lot of brass, how you like that? For Werner. There's a lot of humor in that gathering, a lot of humor, a lot of fun. Okay, now we come to the second stanza. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm invented kites, that is, invented a village full of kites, and he was sort of a, what would you call him, a kite piper? Can't be a pipe piper, a kite piper. Well, all the people following him, and out of that too, I kept the idea going, because ideas don't die any more than the body dies. It turns back into its earth, and God uses it on and on, and nothing quits. There is a thing called life. So there's a carpenter named Dan in Houston, and somehow he had the privilege of making a kite that would fly in the Astrodome, so that we could imagine that on this kite we could put all of our newspapers and the kind of things that Carol was bringing to our attention and many others, and let it fly and lift up on a very, very long, light, white string. And we were going to have the first kite flying in the Astrodome, and we put it in the service of the Word under forgiveness, and we were going to lift up all of our stuff under Him. The stuff had a little trouble getting off, even with helium balloons. So it gave 20,000 people a chance to have some deep feelings about failure. And we forgave Dan, the carpenter, who couldn't get it up. And we were right in the middle of something that we hadn't planned. That was just a continual thing. And when I wasn't looking, he cut the kite in half and it took off, and it was so nice. And when that night was over, Mrs. Kent Knudsen, who had led our celebration in the open grave of Jesus Christ, and Bishop Sheen right with her, and the song for all the saints, and there was no doubt about this God who raised His Son and shall raise us too in His time and way. There she was when the people were leaving, she and her children in left field, reeling in the kite. Happy. It wasn't in the program, it's just that someone was going to bring it down, and why not Norma Knudsen, reeling in the kite. And that night, when the Astrodome Committee gave a big party in what they call a penthouse, and that's what it is, she danced for the first time in her life. All that in the festival called All Saints Day. That's the kind of collage that was going on. I don't know how many people who had been in New Orleans and who'd been in this pain that Carol talks about and reads about up in his chalet, that they came out of this pain. And I think they celebrated better than a lot of us, because they started in the pit of pain. It's obvious this morning that I'm putting together my report, if it is a report, in story form with some people with whom I've not rehearsed this, I'm not apologizing. I don't want to rehearse it with them. I just don't want to tell the story alone, because it was not a lonesome story. It was put together by thousands. This was a convention that was not deductive from the top down, it was inductive from within out. It was a grassroots convention. It was a gathering of 20,000. Ray Johnson kept saying, "We're lucky if we get 11, we had to stop it at 20. And one of the things is that when your people registered, they registered 9 plus 1, that is 9 kids and 1 adult, 1 counselor. That's the way you could get in. So the convention was always 9 plus 1. If you only had 5, then they'd give you 4 others, so that those 9 plus 1 made up the day. You composed your own day. If you wanted to goof off all day, then there was 9 plus 1 goofing off. That's the way you chose to build your convention. So we were never intimidated by 20,000. It was always 9 plus 1, and that's kind of a nice family. It was family. I'm going to tell the story of some runners, and I'm going to ask Bill to help me here. One of the things that some of us did, some of us went down 3 times to Houston to memorize the places where we were going to be. Some memorized 37 hotels, because if you're going to live in the hotel and that's going to be your home, you ought to know it. You ought to search it out, just as you would search out a mountain, you would search out a sauna, you would search out a building. If that's all you've got, then that's what you've got. And we went from despising a building to falling in love with it. And when we first came into the Astrodome, we said, "This is Babylon." And when we came in the second day, we call it Bethlehem. And from Babylon to Bethlehem was for us the necessary renaming trip. And that's what I heard Carol saying again, that we've got to find nouns and verbs, perhaps new nouns and verbs for old buildings and places, and perhaps old nouns and verbs for very new buildings and still unpaid places. But we verbed it and we nouned it, and we call it Bethlehem. We had no trouble. The first time we came into the Astrodome, we saw 3 men watering the ground, getting ready to lay the astroturf. We laughed. 3 men on 1 hose. That hose was 8 inches in diameter. No wonder 3 men. While we were laughing, there were 20 of us together. I said, "We laughed. We've been in the committee all morning, and only 3 of us have said anything, and 17 have stood by. That's about like 3 guys on a hose." And when we saw the hose, we saw they were in better shape than we. Because committees do the same thing. 17 stood by while 3 said it all. But when we saw those 3 men down the hose, down in the middle of that building, we said, one way, that's when the idea began. What this Astrodome needs is the fantastic paradox of someone flying a kite in the dome. What we need is a mime who's always appearing and disappearing. And Gary Barnes, who was here last year, became our mime leader. He got a troop of 2 more. And they appeared and disappeared, and they helped teach what we might call presence. Presence. Hard for people to deal with, and that is that you're just there, and they deal with you, and you're not asking them to do a job, you're not asking them to join a committee, you're not asking them if they did what they think they should have done, you're just there. Just there. And something that always declared the there-ness and the here-ness and the now-ness was a candle that was run. We had to get permission, like you can't believe, from the whole city in order to run a lighted candle in the Astrodome, which was a thing that we had to make. It had kerosene in it, and it was run around the track. And when it was run around the track, we didn't say anything, didn't have to say anything. There was one thing happening. It's going all around. And every night it went around, and the kids waited for it to go around. One night, we had relay runners so that one would pass it on to the next one. So we got to the year 300, and someone received it from the next person. We got to the Middle Ages, and someone received it, and it kept going around and around. And people got the sense of continuity, and it was their turn, and now I have my turn, and my children will have their turn. We had a sense of history. That was, you know, that turned on Bainton's heart, because Bainton saw history. He saw motion. And the night that we really moved that was the night we called the word is a word on foot. It doesn't sit on the seat of its pants, but the word is a word on foot. It travels. It's nomadic. How do you say that? Well, like Carol said before, you dump the paragraphs, you dump the sentences, you give them one set word, and then you give them the whole experience in a single action that gets to be a symbol. The fastest acolytes in the world. A little laughter, and then they make a connection that that's really what acolyting is back home. It has to do with the Christ. It's just not making it pretty or saying, well, now we know when to start. The acolyte has done it, and that means the next hymn. It isn't that abstract. It's more concrete than that. And the gift, the last time together, and the big thing that was in the minds of many, especially in the minds of the youth, was that this was the first time that the youth of the three Lutheran synods were together in convention. It hadn't occurred to me, I'd forgotten that, until they talked about that. And I want to describe the very conclusion of the gathering, but we're not done. I mean, I can describe the conclusion and come back three-fourths into the middle of it again. But I want to tell you about the conclusion. The conclusion was when the candle was lit and the kids now knew they were not going to see that candle again. What do you do now? What do you do now? See, so you have to deal with what you've got. And we dealt with the words in all their forms, the kinesthetic, that is the motion, the eyes, which is the visual, the audio, the tactile, the taste. One night they came in, we gave them sunflower seeds, either to eat, suck on, or go home and plant. They had options. Didn't say, everyone must eat their sunflower seeds. We gave them things that had options. The candle was lit, and we were going to do it. Let's have a donkey serenade, little donkey music. And this, we had a donkey every night named Maud. Now, we had a donkey named Maud. Got to be a star. They'll remember Maud more than they'll remember Chris Christopherson or Mary Travers. They hardly saw Maud, and they were looking for Maud, and they had a sense of expectancy. We had a little advent going there. Couldn't find Maud. One night, the three presidents of the churches, Preuss, and Marshall, we were going to have them ride the ass to the podium. That was in our plans. We had to strike a lot of good things. Because two of them were in Geneva, Switzerland, and one other one said, Preuss in St. Louis said, I'll come, but I can't speak for the others, but I would be glad to come. So he stayed home, and we got Arnie Mickelson from Lacusa. And Arnie Mickelson from Lacusa, a humble layman, huh? That's a bad word, but I'll deal with that some other day. Arnie Mickelson said, as he got up on the podium, you're short of time, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'd be glad to ride your donkey tomorrow. And don't you think they like that to see a churchman on an ass? They look forward. Tomorrow is the next day. He came with a beautiful robe. He went out to buy something. I think he went down to Mexico to get it, looking for something that would be pretty. Couldn't find the donkey. We looked for 2.5 hours. We never found the donkey. We found later. But the man who always brought the donkey, that the taillights were broken on the trailer and the police wouldn't let him on the road. The donkey never came. Arnie Mickelson flew out that night and never got to ride the donkey. Next day the donkey, I know, oh, typical, it's his lifestyle. He said, I will ride a donkey, and when he comes, there's no donkey. It's Arnie. Norma Knudsen said, that's so typical. Next day there was the donkey. And in the middle of everything, my headphones are on, John, my son said, donkeys coming in from center field. I don't know where, I look for a donkey and I don't know how to spot the donkey, so I ask the kids where's the donkey and they say there, so we now have found the donkey. My headphones, because that's the necessary liturgical equipment in the Astrodome. You don't need some of the other stuff but headphones. Why not? Going to communicate, you got to know a little bit about what each other is thinking. That's all part of liturgical equipment. And while this was going on, the other guy, the other MC, who had had some big failures, said, I feel like I'm the guy to ride the donkey tonight. And I put it to the group, would you like to see Jerry ride it? On behalf of Arne Mikkelsen, Mr. Luther, and they said, yeah, and Jerry went out. And while they were riding the donkey, we read again Romans. It's hard for them to imagine the donkey. Wasn't hard for them at all, finally. They read Romans and the mercies of God and thought of the king who rode into Jerusalem. You don't often get a donkey riding right through and alongside your text on the largest Bible society page in the world, electric on the wall. In Philip's translation, donkey story was our star, our symbol, our sign. I'd like to deal with what symbol and sign mean. I think I've got it straight, but if anyone's got it different, I'd like to talk about that. How can we take the signs, and somehow, because they have meaning for us, how can those signs, with an interpretation, how can they become fantastic symbols? The runner, the donkey, the kite. I want some music, John and Chris and John, coming in then if you want to, something from a band back home, okay? And come in at Bill. Wouldn't keep Phil out forever. Anything, you'll find a corner, a spot, I'm sure. Not many bands had harpsichords in them, but tonight or today we could have a band with a harpsichord. Okay? If you come in, and I'm going to just hunt in my own imagination for a story that I think fits with what I hear. The story, you just keep playing. Can you hear me while this is going on? It's not noise, it's their language. Interview people after they have been playing and ask them where their head is. It's been somewhere. Back in January, after a long day, some of us, before we went to bed, had a beer. Did I tell you that? It's true. In a place called the Holiday Inn. And there was a beautiful school teacher. I didn't know she was a school teacher at the piano. Her name was Carolyn Jones, and she was playing every night. She's got the summer off, you know. She was so beautiful, I said to Jerry Glazer, she should be in the Astrodome, because that's Lutheran. He went out and got some of the melodies. Look at the woman. And she was in the Astrodome for our closing day, and she was so beautiful. She led us a beautiful Savior. She's so confident that she came early, but just a few minutes before it all began, I said, by the way, could you lead us a beautiful Savior? And she said, I think I used to know it. How does it go? Oh, she said, you mean Ferris Lord Jesus. And she led 20,000 in beautiful Savior as though she had found it again for the first time. That's Lutheran. Not to separate yourself from, keep it separated, however, use it, it's there. And she closed our convention with amen. 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 Could she sing it? And every song that she sang in the Astrodome the next night in that cafe, she sang. She sang all those songs then and made them part of her repertoire. Your kids won't know that. They'll just know that Carolyn Jones was there. And they'll know that when we were naming the Astrodome, and some said, let's call it Kingdom, and they had all kinds of beautiful new names. Someone said, let's call it Jones Dome. And spots were on her mother, who drove all the way down to hear her daughter once in the Astrodome. With church people. She was a Christian, is a Christian, but hasn't been around some of the congregations for quite a while. I just want to close by saying that we had layers going on. At the same time, we had four or five things going on all over the city, in the clusters, the three places where the kids were, and in the Astro Hall, where Holden had its place to go and be a bit of Holden, which, as far as I was concerned, was a sample of what was going on all over. You could play yourself through the world on a miniature golf course and meet the missionaries all over. Nice idea. And then, could we close with, it was the same way there. Same way there, lots of music and rhythm. We had clowns. There's a man who's leaving the parish to be a clown in the United States. I've been of some of the mind that Carol has for a long time, and I remember 10 years ago I recommended to the American Lutheran Church that the national office legitimately hire a clown. I thought he should be in the highest category of pay, and that the clown should not have an office, but he should, he could have all the space between the offices. And that dream, for me, was fulfilled here that night, or those nights, we had clowns. They didn't say anything. We called them Red Dot. You come here. You come here. You too. I'll show you how it was. The clown would, would look at the person, be there. It was very hard for some of the people to stay looking. And when they would stay looking, then the clown put a liturgical mark, just a red dot. And leave. The first night, like this, the clowns waited, and they got down, people brought rocks from all over the United States, and the clowns slept by these rocks occasionally, and kids would come down, kick them, pinch them, punch them, but the last night, the last days, the kids were lined up to get a mark and to know what it means to stand silent in the presence of what was obviously a Christian called Red Dot and his troop. So if someone never ever found out what the clowns were, maybe he was someone who kicked them at the place where they piled the rocks called Bethel. And those kids brought rocks, some of them four had to carry. They brought them all the way from all over the United States. Some of them so beautifully decorated, some of them engraved by professional engravers. And when Norman Knutson walked by that for the first time and saw those rocks, which then disappeared because they went into another part of the United States, they had a rock exchange at Bethel. And that was not the holy place, but any place got to be a place where the Lord is. She said, "Oh, that's what Kent would like for a grave mark. An ordinary rock with some extraordinary affection." She took one home. What she will do with it, what your children will do with it, I don't know. So much marvelous wonder. And when you hear my story, you may think, you know, it was all like that. Well, for me, it was all like that. And where there was pain, out of that grew the care. I want to close with this story at the conclusion. I think we could have a little soft amen coming under this when I, well, when you want. And we'll go out of here with that on our mind. I was on the stage, side stage, and hey, amen, that's the one, okay? I was on one of the side stages, and the other MC on the other side stage. They were slipping all kinds of notes to us, like, "All the Australian Lutherans send greetings to all the 20,000 here." Some kid wrote it, I think, you know. So we didn't know what to read and what not to read. "Or my mother has a birthday today. Could we all say happy birthday to her off off the board, you know, 40 feet high board, and we're going to sing happy birthday to their mother. Why not?" So we did have a great big happy birthday song one night, when, by the way, we tried to phone Roland Bainton back in New Haven, and his phone didn't answer, but we all took his address and we're going to write him. And we did send a telegram to a boy 15 years old, because this is our home, and we sent him one in Michigan because he had a heart attack and couldn't come. Holden kind of thing, you know, Christ kind of thing. That, ordinary stuff. Really, we were only in trouble when he had the big stars. That's what we did. And I'm not quite there yet, down a little, real nice, but all right. Then comes this little note that says, you gotta read this. And the guy meant it. I knew the guy, and it said, I wish I had it. It's up in the briefcase and I wanted to get it. Gives the name of a boy. It says, "Mentally retarded boy from a town in Minnesota," and then it gives his name, "is lost in the Astrodome. When you find him, and if he hears his name, let him come to a certain door." There was some laughter, I think, from the probably people who don't like Minnesota, because there was a mentally retarded boy. So I said, "There's a true announcement. This is our time to care." I mean, I was getting ready for the finale, where the three youth directors, you know, climb up and take the light and run it out of the center field. And here comes an announcement like this, huh? Beautiful. Talk about pain. It was a high point. Read it again very slowly. It was everything we needed to have a caring, quiet community. Everyone willing now to look for a mentally retarded boy to bring him to gate 8. It was so beautiful. Out of the pain came the gospel. And then these three men, we opened the package, and Bob Nervig, of whom Carol has spoken of, and who got dumped so we could have him in this great convention. Beautiful. What a man. They stepped out of a package, took the light, and a girl named Grace, whose father is Hoyfeld. Grace Hoyfeld ran that candle out center field, because we're not going back home. No one does. We go on home, singing amen, with Carolyn Jones there and us and the crowd. Amen.